On Tuesday, YKHC was able to open up COVID-19 vaccinations to the entire general population, everyone above age 16 in the YK Delta, which is a really tremendous thing. And how did that first day go?
Really well. The vaccination center was very busy, very busy day, a lot of excitement, and just a lot of it's just very heartwarming to me to see that kind of excitement and enthusiasm over this vaccination. I'm very pleased about that. Every single shot in an arm is potentially one less person who might succumb to this terrible disease.
And three of the people on Tuesday who were able to get a vaccine, their first dose, were KYUK employees. So I'm happy
Oh,
to report
yay.
that.
Oh, thank you so much for getting vaccinated. I'm so grateful for that.
We've also had a tremendous amount of snowfall in recent days. Has that at all affected getting vaccines out to villages?
I think a couple of teams got stuck in villages that were there over the weekend, but I don't think it prevented us from getting there with the first round of shots to any village.
And do you have the latest numbers on how many people have received their vaccines in the YK Delta?
Yes, as of Monday the 18th, 4,810 unique individuals, that's in the entire region, have received at least one vaccine. And of those, 700 have received two doses.
That's a tremendous amount of people. Are you pleased with that number at this point in time?
I am unbelievably pleased looking at those numbers and also the distribution of the numbers and just realizing what a tremendous lift it was for our team to get this vaccine out to all the villages and getting people vaccinated. I mean, I went on a few of those. I was privileged to be able to go on a few of those village trips and just, some people cry when you vaccinate them, because they're just so relieved to be able to be protected against this virus. Yeah, it's a tremendous program. The Project Togo getting the vaccine to all those villages is just, it's a remarkable program. And I hope people realize that, how utterly remarkable it was that we were able to do that.
This vaccine, of course, requires not just one dose, but two doses that has to be given within a certain period of time to be most effective. With the weather conditions in rural Alaska, are you confident that that time frame will be able to be met?
The range for Pfizer is 19 to 23 days. So we start trying to fly to the villages that need their second dose on day 19. So to give us a couple days of wiggle room in there. And Moderna, it's 24 to 28 days. So we start trying to get out there at about 24 days. So it just weather permitting and, aircraft permitting.
Has the vaccine reached all 48 communities in the YK Delta? Are there any communities that have yet to receive the vaccine?
There is a couple of villages that have not yet gotten vaccinated. It's primarily because of logistics issues. One is Lyme Village, that has to be chartered from Anchorage. One is Red Devil, similar situation. And we have one village, Nightmute, that we have been weathered out of. They should be getting to that this week.
CEO Dan Winkelman said at the beginning that high declination rates was driving the expansion to new tiers, to new phases, allowing more people to be eligible for the vaccine. What was driving that high declination rate, and has that changed over time?
We do think of being vaccinated as a very personal medical decision that people have to make after, reviewing the evidence and doing their own sort of risk and benefit analysis. So I'm not sure what was driving declination rates at all. Right now, our focus is getting as many people who want to be vaccinated as humanly possible. State of Alaska Chief Medical Officer Ann Zink calls that shots in arms, fast and furious. So just getting shots into arms right now is our absolute highest focus. And we haven't had time to pivot to working on that subset of the population who are possibly declining the vaccine. I will say that over time, more and more people have gotten vaccinated. So it's possible that over time, as people see that people are doing okay with that particular vaccine, like, my neighbor got it and did okay, maybe I'll get it type thing. So I think that definitely is helping us. And declinations, they go up and down as time goes on. And I just encourage everyone who's listening to this to do your own research from very reliable sources, trying to stay away from some of those social media things that are not accurate and don't contain scientifically valid information. Get your information from the CDC, get your information from the YKHC website or the National Institutes of Health. Like, go to reliable websites.
YKHC has an online form that anyone can fill out and submit and request a vaccine appointment. Do you know how many of those forms have been received, or perhaps how many weeks out are the appointments scheduled out for? I'm trying to get a gauge, perhaps, of interest. I've heard a lot of people who have signed up for the vaccine.
I don't know the answer to that, actually. The answer is known, but it's not by me. But we do review that sheet daily. So every morning I get an email that the people on the sheet and we review it and people are contacted. And I'm not sure what the time frame is for that, but it's not a particularly long period of time. I can tell you that.
Anyone in the YK Delta over age 16 is eligible to receive this vaccine. Can people from outside of the region fly into the YK Delta if they're having trouble getting the vaccine in Anchorage or elsewhere to get the vaccine?
No, our vaccine allocation is really for our population. Other parts of the state have gotten their own allocations, and that's how the state kind of determines your allocation is based on your population. So for example, if the state is on 1B, tier one, which is aged 65 and older, how they would do that is they would look at your population of people, that address in associated with the YK Delta, and that's your allocation, if that makes sense. So people need to get vaccinated in their own communities. It is true that many communities are at different levels, different tiers. For example, Anchorage is still on 1B, except for South Central, who is vaccinating all adults. So people just need to pay attention to where they are and get vaccinated in their own community. And the second thing is, if you got your first shot one place, because the way the allocations work is that you need to get your second shot where your first shot is, because we're given the second dose. So when we say we have an allocation of 100 doses, what we mean is 100 people that can be vaccinated. So we're getting 100 doses. And then, you know, at a certain set period of time later, we get the second set of 100 doses. So people from the village, we're asking them to complete the form as well. So when we fly to a village, we bring with us a set number of vaccines based on people who've completed the form who want to do it, and a little bit based on like the population of those over 65 who haven't yet been vaccinated. And that we've gotten to every village at least once. Now when we go back again, we'll sort of review, all right, who was in that group that got vaccinated, who would like to still be vaccinated. So we bring a set amount of vaccine. So the Pfizer vials contain 5 or 6 doses, and we've been able to get 6 doses out of many of those vials, which increased our number of doses quite significantly. And so when we go to a village, we bring a certain amount of vaccine. Filling out that form lets us know how many people in that village want to be vaccinated, so that we don't waste a single dose of this precious resource. And yet we're able to vaccinate as many people as want to be vaccinated.
While this vaccination effort is going on, YKHC has also recommended another region-wide month-long lockdown. Why is that measure needed while this widespread vaccination is going on?
And the reason why is you don't receive full immunity until about 2 weeks after your second dose. So about 5 or 6 weeks from your first dose, provided you get that second dose. So some of it is going to take some time to build up the number of people who've been vaccinated and the immunity levels in the community. So that's the first step. The second is, even once you're vaccinated and considered fully vaccinated against COVID, we just don't have enough evidence to show whether or not vaccination prevents asymptomatic spread. So there's this theoretical risk that people who have been vaccinated could still contract COVID. And even though they themselves might not show symptoms, they could still spread it to other people who are either unvaccinated or unable to be vaccinated at this time, maybe because they're kids. And there are studies ongoing to look into that, but we just don't have the evidence yet. So until we have that evidence and until this amount of cases we have in our region starts to die down, we need to maintain the vigilance that we have been maintaining. So universal masking when you're outside your home, keeping your social circle small, frequent hand washing, all those things will still have to be adhered to in all likelihood through the rest of the winter, spring, probably into summer, as we start getting more and more people vaccinated and as our case rates start to go down.
This UK variant, as it's referred to, of the virus that is much more contagious than the previous variants that we've seen, is it known if that variant has arrived in Alaska? Is that being tested for? Could it possibly be in the region?
The state of Alaska does look for the UK variant and other variants. There's other types of variants that are considered to be more contagious. So the state of Alaska has regular surveillance to look for that. And the last update I heard is that it has not yet been detected in Alaska, but I think it's reasonable to assume that it might. And that's just one more reason that people need to get vaccinated, keep wearing their masks, keep washing their hands, keep keeping their social circles really small. The new variant is not more deadly, but it causes more cases. And if more people get sick, more people will need to be hospitalized and more people could die. So it is associated with higher cases, and higher cases are associated with increased morbidity and mortality. So that's an important thing for people to understand, is that even though this variant is not necessarily more lethal or cause more deaths, it is associated with more cases because it's just more contagious.
With the YK Delta being further ahead than other places in the state, could that mean that the region will receive fewer allotments of the vaccine in the future?
The vaccine allocation by the state and by the Indian Health Service is really based on your population. Right now, it's not based on how fast you use the vaccine. And the difficulty with vaccine allocation, and why it's difficult to know or comment on it, is that we're not sure how much vaccine we're going to get literally until right before it ships. So, and the Indian Health Service vaccine is completely separate from the state allocation. So we'll continue to get both a state allocation and an Indian Health Service allocation. It's possible in the future that your amount that you get is based on how much you've been able to use. In other words, those who are more efficiently able to vaccinate may get more vaccine. But right now, I don't think the state or the federal government wants to penalize people who have had trouble getting their vaccination programs up and running, because it's confusing and it's hard. And there's a lot of logistics that has to go into getting a massive vaccination program off the ground. So right now they're just basically saying, okay, you have this amount of population that's over 65, for example, you get this much vaccine. Okay, well, we already gave you, 500 doses and you didn't use them, so we're not going to give you any more. So they're not doing that right now, is my understanding.
YKHC in the early months of January was reporting an increase in severe COVID-19 cases, particularly in people under age 65, seeing more hospitalizations, also seeing more deaths in a shorter period of time. Is that trend ongoing following holiday gatherings?
We certainly have been seeing an increase in cases associated with holiday gatherings. That much is certainly very true. I felt like right before Christmas, our cases were actually starting to plateau a little bit, probably reflecting the lockdown that was previously recommended. And I think right now we're experiencing an increase in cases associated with holiday gatherings. And as a natural sort of result of that, we are having more hospitalizations and more deaths. And it's just, I think, associated with that increase in cases. That spike that we saw of severe COVID, especially with younger people, fortunately has not repeated itself. But I'm always worried about that. The national trend, and we have not been different from the national trend, is that you see an increase in cases a lot in young people in the first week or two after a gathering. And then that leads to older people getting it, needing to be hospitalized, and having an increase in your deaths associated with that about 4 weeks down the line. So in my mind, starting in February, after Slavic, after the New Year's, that's when we might see an increase in our hospitalization rate, severe COVID, and death. It's a huge lagging indicator, especially when you start seeing a bump in cases, a spike in cases associated with a particular event, like the holidays.
This time of year, January and February, is also when the respiratory illnesses like RSV in children, and then also flu and the broader population, tend to reach their annual peak. Are we seeing that coinciding with COVID yet? Are those cases appearing?
Not yet. Statewide, there is an influenza surveillance program that we participate in every year. And so far, we have not seen an increase in that. It's probably related to the mask wearing and the social distancing that people are doing to prevent COVID. This is probably preventing this from starting. It always feels like I'm on edge. Like if we start getting a bunch of RSV and flu cases on top of COVID cases, it'll be kind of a disaster. So if people continue to adhere to the social distancing and the mask wearing, I think that would help. It's not too late to get your flu vaccine. We still have lots of flu vaccinations available. So if people are interested in getting a flu vaccine, we can also do that. Initially, the CDC was recommending that you keep your COVID and your flu vaccine separated in time by 2 weeks. But my understanding is that strict prohibition has been lifted, so that you can get, if you've already gotten a flu vaccine and it's been less than 2 weeks, you can still get your COVID vaccine. So we do still want people to consider getting their flu vaccination to help reduce the amount of flu cases we have in the region. And then continuing to keep separate from other households other than your own, that will really cut down on both those problems.
Is there anything else you'd like to share this morning about the state of the vaccine distribution or the virus in the region?
Just, we'd really like to strongly encourage anyone who's interested in vaccination, get onto our website, fill out that form. If you don't have access to the internet, go ahead and call our hotline. We can get you to some people who can help you fill out that form. So 543-6949, and we'll get you scheduled for a vaccination as soon as we can. The way out of this is through, so we need to get as many people vaccinated as we can. And in the meantime, you know, don't lose hope. Continue wearing your mask, continue your social distancing, continue your washing your hands frequently. We're going to get through this, but it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of patience as we start to get people vaccinated and as we start to hopefully see a decrease in our cases soon. So just, I'd like people to, this is a hard time of year, but to have hope and to have patience as we get through this public health crisis.
Yeah, and we would just offer clarification. So if people need help with the online form, or maybe they don't have access to the internet, we ask people who live in Bethel to call the COVID-19 hotline. But if somebody lives in a village, we ask them to call their local village clinic.
Thanks, Tiffany. I always forget that.
Well, Dr. Hodges, thank you so much. Tiffany, thank you for setting this up, especially while you're in session. I know you have a lot going on.